You're listening to Sabah al-Muslim on Radio Islam International. Now joining us all the way from Cape Town, from Voice of the Cape, we have Dhakira Desai, who's a reporter at the Voice of the Cape for the weekly edition of the Cape Report. Dhakira, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. How's everyone up there?
All well, alhamdulillah, on that side of the country.
Yeah, it's been a bit busy this side of the country.
I think the sentiment is mutual. While things are raging on at WITS,
yeah,
there has been a similar trend at UCT. Perhaps you can begin by updating our listeners on what's happening on the campus of the University of Cape Town.
Yes, so during the course of last night, UCT students attempted to occupy a building on the campus, and this came after they were prevented from entering the Steve Biko building yesterday afternoon. The building was later secured with new locks and private security, which prevented students from reoccupying the building. And according to UCT spokesperson Hedda Kruger, the students stormed the building and proceeded to break windows, and security tried to prevent the building from being reoccupied by forming a human chain, but it was later breached. They also said that several petrol bombs were thrown. But now, according to the students, they are refuting UCT's version, and they are saying that the violence broke out after a fire extinguisher went off and was mistaken for tear gas. They are now criticizing UCT for not speaking out about the excessive force employed by police and the fact that UCT does not mention the many students who were injured. And this actually is quite, what happened last night is quite different from what was mentioned yesterday on mid-campus, at a press conference, where students from the Hamilton Naki suite occupation were actually speaking about the fact that the students do not want violence, they want to engage with UCT and the deanery, and they want the deanery to put pressure on government so that the close of universities can end. And they also said that, you know, their own faculty has actually supported them. And I was at the conference yesterday, and the staff members of the Med Campus were quite emotional. One even broke out crying, saying that she's really proud of the students for the integrity that they've shown on Med Campus, because they haven't been violent, but they are calling for reformation and for the end of and for the decolonization of education in South Africa.
Yes, the fight goes on that particular front, and at WITS, academic program has been called off until next week. Let's see what happens in the next few days. It will be really, really critical. Now, another region of the world that has been in the limelight, or there has been major problems for a long time now, is Syria. Tell us what's the latest on that front and the AMJC.
Yeah, before I get to that, you know, you made a very good comment, a very important comment regarding the reopening of universities. And what we find at UCT is that many of the medical students who are supposed to be graduating will not necessarily graduate this year. And then next year, there's sort of a backlog with new doctors entering the health system. So that is good. That was an integral part of the discussion yesterday, where they were saying that government needs to understand that all stakeholders, it's a concern of all stakeholders for the graduates to graduate, and they need to take decisive action.
Yes, that is on many, many people's minds, yeah, at this moment.
But moving on to the issue of Syria, in a bit to encourage discussion around the issue of Syria, on Sunday, the Muslim Judicial Council in Cape Town held a rally at the Sadia State Masjid, where they invited community members to voice their concerns about the lack of action taken by the South African government. And now we know that the region has been is considered one of the worst humanitarian disasters of our time, where on Sunday alone, at least 40 people were killed, 15 of which were in Aleppo, and about 4.6 million people, according to the United Nations and Amnesty International, have become refugees abroad. And so they are calling on the South African government to actually show an interest in calling attention to the plight of civilians that are trapped within the besieged territory. They have addressed on Thursday, they addressed a letter to both the South African government and the Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, urging them to adopt a stance on the issue of Syria and to call attention to the human rights abuses in Syria. They also mentioned the fact that the chairman of the International Union of Muslim Scholars, Sheikh Yusuf Al-Qaradawi, has called attention to the to Halab, and he says that they must show anger for Halab. So they're echoing the same sentiment and saying that, you know, this district of Aleppo has been so severely impacted by the conflict, and the world seems to turn a blind eye.
That is the sad part where there isn't enough action from the. There doesn't seem to be that will from the international players to bring an end to the situation. And then finally, yes, you go ahead.
Recently, I think the Department of International Relations did make a visit to Syria. I expected more to come from that visit, but unfortunately, it doesn't seem like much came from it. When we did speak to the Deputy Minister, Numa India, and she said that the reason that they haven't really taken decisive stance is because we have to set our goals on the closer refugees who enter our country, and that's why they haven't taken a stance on refugees from Syria entering South Africa, because we have neighboring countries where refugees are constantly coming in and it's easier for them to access South Africa. Whether or not that is a real reason not to take a decisive stance or not, it's not in my hands, but I think that it's time now for mention of the Middle East to be made and for South Africa to take a real active position in this situation.
Definitely. And then finally, ShotSpotter. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, this is interesting. So last week, the city of Cape Town unveiled a ShotSpotter, which is new technology, which, you know, compared to your CCTV cameras, ShotSpotter listens for violent activity and gunshots. And they've rolled the initiative out in two areas of the Cape Flats, which is Manenberg and Hanover Park. We spoke to the City of Cape Town's Alderman J.P. Smith, who explained that the system has shown to decrease the amount of gang violence within these areas, because once they hear gunshot or they hear disruption, the police will immediately go out with every single commotion that takes place. So instead of them going in with every 1 in 6 or 1 in 8, they actually manage to be there for every gunshot that takes place, and they can prevent violence from occurring. But according to the CPF of Hanover Park, they say that the ShotSpotter hasn't been actually effective. It's more so the engagement between community and the gang, those who are in power within the gangs. So whether or not it will be a year after they actually decide to roll it out in other areas, they first want to check if this control system will actually be effective. So we'll wait and see what happens. But apparently, according to the City of Cape Town, it has been effective. We'll see.
Yes, sounds like a really interesting initiative that could bring down that very, very worrying statistics with regards to gang violence, and we hope that it will make a difference in that regard.
Yes.
Sister Dakira, jazakumullah khair for your time this morning on Radio Islam.
Shukran so much. Assalamu alaikum to everyone.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.